Let me explain what we're listening to. Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine sent us this video clip. These are young Ukrainians singing last night in a club in Kharkiv during an air alarm. They were auctioning off abandoned Russian equipment to raise money for Ukrainian soldiers and medical volunteers. We're connecting with Joseph now, and hopefully he'll tell us the story about the night here in just a minute or two. But what's interesting, when you see this video, it looks like a nightclub in Chicago with people performing, and you realize that they're doing this while war is raging and while there's an alarm going off in Kharkiv. It's quite amazing, and hopefully Joseph can tell us about it. We're trying to make the connection now. And there he is. Joe, we were just listening to the audio, and I watched the video you sent. It's quite remarkable. Fill us in on that.
Yeah, Bob, that's from yesterday, the sound of young people in a little club here in Kharkiv during an air raid alarm. Those are the street musicians of the city, and they were singing the Ukrainian classic Trivona Ruta. And with others, they had gathered there in this club for an auction of bits of Russian rockets and other equipment that Russians have left behind, and they use that money to support Ukrainian soldiers. And as the owner of the club, Ilya, he told me with a smirk, he said, "We are using these Russian presents to help us win." So you really see the fierce spirit of the Ukrainians. And in that club last night, you had a mix of sort of battle.
Oops. Joe's dropped out there. Hopefully we can reconnect as he fills us in on what happened there last night. I was reading this morning, you know, we kind of take for granted these conversations with Joseph, but the Committee to Protect Journalists says Ukraine has been the deadliest country for reporters in 2022. 15 members of the press were killed in that war-torn country. And as we talk to Joseph live here every morning, and from time to time he is walking about while there is an air raid alarm, it's amazing to think of what he's doing while that war goes on. And he, of course, describes what everybody else is doing and what the people of that country are doing. And so many times, as he talks about people in cafes having coffee, or as he was just doing a minute or two ago, singing in these clubs, it's just remarkable. And as I said to him yesterday when he was telling us one of these remarkable stories, it makes our concerns here about the cold weather or the traffic or our daily problems seem minuscule. It really does put everything in perspective. All right, we're trying to make our connection with Joseph again.
Joe,
there he is. Go ahead. We can continue, Joe. There you go.
Great. That's very strange. You know, I am speaking just 30 miles from Russia, so perhaps it is something here on my end. But I could hear you. And as that evening last night, you know, you have this sort of moment of calm even during the air raid alarm. But even then, you hear so many stories of what's happening. As I was sitting there, I received a text message that a young, very sweet American girl I know, she's a nurse in her 20s. She texted me to say that she had taken shrapnel to her side while she was helping evacuate wounded civilians and soldiers. And so the heaviness and the atrocities of the war are very close to us. And then as people were singing, and you can hear laughter and people talking in other parts of this club, I look over, I could sense something bad was happening, and I saw near the bar, people were crying. There was one guy staring blankly into space, some girls were sobbing, and someone else was swearing. And they had just received awful news about a friend of theirs. And then I went downstairs outside, and I was talking with a German volunteer, and he was telling me about yet another tragedy that had happened to some warriors that he knew. And I asked this German guy, he's got two kids back home. I said, you know, why are you here? And I have to quote him more politely for radio. But he says, it's our duty to sort this out while we can. And there is a sense, as we get closer to the one-year anniversary of the war, that something, the Russians are planning something big and dark. They've adapted and they're preparing. And so there's a heaviness, and everyone is sort of steeling themselves for the fight ahead. I was also speaking last night with my friend Goody. He's a British veteran. He was a great warrior in the UK. He came here in the first days of the war, and he's seen many horrible fights. And he told me that he came here to kill. That's what he was trained to do. But he's so inspired by sort of the people he's encountered that he says, I'm here to preserve. And instead of fighting now, he's going to evacuate soldiers who have been horribly wounded. And as the people are singing in the club last night, he's telling me the stories of soldiers that, and showing me videos as well of soldiers that have died in his arms. And so we see this amazing solidarity, but we also know that there's a lot of uncertainty about what's coming, what could be coming this way. We have lots of, in fact, the chatter that I hear now is not quite as loud, but it's starting to sound like the chatter that I heard exactly 1 year ago before the full-scale Russian invasion. And so there is a sense that everyone has to be fortified and prepared, and there's a lot of people being wounded and killed. In fact, I think you see the best of Ukraine, the bravest people, the heroes of the Maidan Revolution, the young corruption fighters. These are often, and then also heroes from America, like that nurse. These are the people who are being wounded and killed right now. And this is why, you know, those who understand what's happening say even just one or two or a few more tanks or any weapon that comes this way can make an amazing difference for Ukrainians. And last thing, last night they auctioned off, they found a Russian meal ready to eat. And that was the thing that got the most money in the auction with the warning, please do not eat this. And so, but every little bit helps for the victory effort.
And that was going out at a club 30 miles from Russia. Is that what you said, Joe?
Yeah, Bob. I mean, if you sort of feel like you're in a movie, I mean, 30 miles from Russia during an air alarm with the people who have seen the worst of this. I mean, they often come here for a little bit of a break. And while people are listening to the music and talking, they're also planning, okay, how do we evacuate people, from this and that place? And so really you feel the energy and the urgency of this effort for victory.
Unbelievable. As you know, Joseph, the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu said he's considering military aid to Ukraine, and also that he would be willing to serve as a mediator. Would that be a possibility? I don't know anything about his relationship with Putin. Could that happen?
Well, you know, Israel has walked the line a little bit carefully, both with Netanyahu and the previous administration. There are many Russian Israelis, or many Israelis of Russian background, but also many Israelis of Ukrainian background. And as we discussed last week, I mean, the nation of Israel was really formed by many people from Odessa. Golda Meir, the only woman prime minister of Israel, was born in Kyiv. So there are many, and then I think there's a deeper connection between Israel and Ukraine, a nation surrounded by people who want to destroy it and who must find a way to survive. And so I think for Ukrainians, they see the natural connection. To be able to negotiate with Putin does not seem really a possibility at this point. And I think the best thing that Ukraine wants from Israel would be their expertise at air defense.
Mm-hmm. And as far as more military aid from Israel and other countries in the West, it sounds like heading into this anniversary date, February 24th, it's really needed. Although anything sent now, it takes a while to get there. Also takes a while for training. So it's going to be a long time before the equipment we're hearing about now is in use, correct?
Yeah, Bob, this is really the difficult thing. What I really felt yesterday, looking into the eyes of everyone with whom I was speaking and also texting with friends who are fighting or volunteering in different ways, we had several months of kind of this little bit of calm, and this would have been the time to fortify. And it took so long, you know, for Germany and United States to figure out if they will send the tanks. And a lot of time was lost. And people here are, it's scary and difficult, and people are bracing for something horrible. And grateful for whatever support they can get, but it's been slow.
Mm-hmm. Too slow. And Joseph, at the moment, are alarms sounding?
At the moment, no. But there was a nationwide air alarm earlier this morning. It was due to Russian aircraft over Belarus, possibly training flights. Nothing happened. And then the alarm continued for a few hours here in Kharkiv. So far, it's been calm. We have not had nationwide. Russia has not attacked the whole nation with a missile strike since last Thursday. So we are, once again, we're getting closer to maybe are they ready for something else. Meanwhile, there continue to be terrible attacks and very serious fights, of course, in Bakhmut and down in Zaporizhia and in Kherson.
We pray for your safety and, of course, for peace, Joe. We'll talk on Monday. I hope you have a quiet weekend.
Thank you, Bob.